do everything you can during your undergrad program to understand, to learn, and then you can make a better decision. Swine nutrition is a very good opportunity, not just to work with swine, but opens a lot of doors for you. So be open to the opportunities and be open to get that experience for you to grow professionally.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Mycotoxins were found in over 90% of feed sampled in 2025. Don't let mycotoxins impact your pig's health and performance. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/mycofix. Swine Veterinary Partners is comprised of four clinics across Canada that specialize in swine health, management, research, and development. Top Pigs Norsvin, the world's most innovative swine genetics company.
Welcome to the Swinet Canada podcast. I am Dan Columbus, and I will be your host for today's episode. And with me today, I have a colleague from Prairie Swine Center, Dr. Josie Pennison, who is the manager or assistant manager of contract research at the Prairie Swine Center. Welcome to the show, Josie.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
I'm just going to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself, although I know a lot of your background is probably going to come up in the discussion today, but we'll just give kind of a brief idea of your journey and who you are.
Okay, so as you say, my name is Josie Pennison, and I'm originally from Brazil. And I had my master's and PhD at the Universidade Federal of Paraná in monogastronutrition. And I came to Canada in 2018 as a visitor research student at the University of Saskatchewan. And during my PhD program, right? But I never went back to Brazil, except for the fact that to defend my PhD. And in 2020, I started my postdoctoral program with Dr. Denise Belou, and also with you, Dan Columbus. And then I moved on to become the assistant manager of contract research at Prairie Swine Center, where I have been since 2022. And also I'm married and I have a 2, almost 3 years old kid who keeps me busy.
Yeah.
Most of my time when I'm not working. Yeah.
Yeah. Future swine nutritionist in 20 years or so.
Yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, great. And you know, it's been a pleasure to work with you at Prairie Swine Center. I remember when you first came. Not really sure. And then now look at you. It's like you said, you never left and you're filling great role at Prairie Swine Center. So as I kind of mentioned at the beginning, the topic today is going to be kind of about your journey, because it is exploring the path and kind of deciding if swine nutrition is right for you. So we can get kind of right into that, I guess. Maybe let's just start with why you decided to go down this path, and then we'll get into the details of what people should consider.
Well, so let's start from the beginning. When I started my undergraduate program. So during my undergraduate program, I did a lot of internship with a lot of species. And when I started, I really wanted to work with beef. But the first time I went and I worked and I got experience, I saw that that wasn't for me. So I kept exploring. And then on the last year of my undergrad program, I did an internship for swine and into swine research. So I work with a lot of different professors, masters and PhD students. And when I really start understanding research and understand the swine industry. And then when I fall in love, and then I decide that was the way that I would like to go. So when I finish my undergraduate program, I start teaching. And also I was still working with different researchers helping their studies until I decided, okay, now it's time to start a master. And then when I went for a master program in swine nutrition.
And then never look back. So you said you were doing some internships and that to kind of gain experience. So maybe along with that, what are some of the prerequisites or background knowledge that are required or that you would suggest that people go and kind of look into if they're considering this?
If you're considering, like, the background should be in animal science, right? You need to have a background in animal science to start. So anyone that have animal science or veterinary degree can explore like a graduate program in swine nutrition, right? It's important to understand a little bit about research if you would like to keep going, like to explore more a graduate program, a graduate degree, right? So once you have a better idea about what is a research, like, then you can get into a graduate program for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I think going and getting that experience, especially on the research side, to see if you actually enjoy the research is probably one of the critical parts, you know, because you can like the topic, but maybe you don't necessarily want to do all the work that goes along with it. So,
yes, and like doing a research or like a graduate program is not just about you like to study, right? But you need to be able to do a hands-on work. You need to be able to write. You need to be able to understand. You need to know how to multitask as well, because you're not going to be doing just one thing part-time. Like, it's going to be a lot of challenges, a lot of things coming up during your program. And then as much experience you had before, this will help you during your program.
Assuming you have the experience and it's something that you want to look into, I guess, what are some of the questions then that you should ask yourself before you actually even go into it, right? Like, because you can say, oh, I love this, I want to do this and everything, but and you've been through it and I've been through it, and you know that there's things that come up afterwards that you're like, oh, I wish I had thought of that before. So maybe let's just talk about, you know, some of the questions that people should be asking themselves.
First of all, for you to have a questions, you need to have an objective, right? So what you need to ask yourself is, what's your goal, right? What's your goal? Most of the question comes of the goal is going to be with your experience. So again, I go back to, you need to have experience before you start. You decide to enter in a graduate program. And then the next question I would say, okay, so you already set a goal. So what is your motivation? What's your passion for you to follow that goal? And the third one, and I think is very important, is, what would be like your ideal supervisor? Like how you see yourself doing a graduate program, and how you'd like to have your mentor in your side? Like how this should be look like? That's, I think, is some of the most important questions to ask yourself.
Yeah, and As somebody who has been supervising graduate students, I would agree with, especially with that last point, that I don't think a lot of people or many put enough emphasis on who are you going to be working with, because, you know, a graduate program can take quite a while depending on master's or PhD. It's, if you end up in the wrong situation, that can make it seem even longer.
Yes, exactly.
So let's explore the supervisor question then a little bit more, right? And so what do you think they should be looking for? What types of questions then should they be asking a potential supervisor that they're thinking of working with?
Well, so first of all, you need to like understand. And once you understand your goal, understand what you want, you go and do a bit of research about the supervisor, about the person you'd like to work with. And then you contact this person and this professor. And I think one question that you should ask the professor is what they are expecting from the student, right? Like, so the same way, like the student need to know what they expect from the supervisor, they also need to understand what the supervisor is expecting from them. And another thing is that I think is really important is they need to understand what type of the supervisor they are, right? Like the person is like to micromanage things, or they like to macromanage things. And then you know, okay, I like to work independently. So the supervisor is somebody that is macromanaged, then yeah, go for it. But if it's somebody that is micromanagement, then you guys are going to have more difficult to work together, right?
Yeah, and I would say from personal experience too, and I know we're taught to like, okay, you need to change your supervisory style for the student, but in all honesty, that doesn't usually happen. So, you know, they because a lot of supervisors, they've set up their lab in a way that allows them to perform, you know, or supervise in their way. So I would actually add on to your supervisor, like talk to the supervisor, find out about them. But also, if you can, take the opportunity to meet other people in the lab. And then you get, how is it? Who else are you going to be working with and stuff like that, and really get an idea of the situation that you are getting into. And I'm not using situation in a bad way here. It's just, this is...
It's just understanding what you're going to get into, right? Because like you say, a master's and a PhD is a long term.
Yeah. So there is the next question. How long is somebody going to be looking at? Maybe to give them an idea that if you are end up in the bad situation, this is what you're looking at.
So like... Usually for a master program, it's going to be taking from 2 to 3 years. Like, this is usual time. And a PhD, I would say like 3 to 5 years, depending most of your program and requirements that you have to fill to complete.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you want to stay in research and you have postdoc and you do whatever, yeah, because I tell people too, because they ask, From the start of the bachelor's, because I would include that as well, from the start of the bachelor's to the end of my postdoc was 13 years. Like, it was a big commitment.
Yes, for me too.
and I think that is something that people need to consider. You know, in maybe when it's coming to choosing where you're going to do it, it's to consider that, okay, in the grand scheme of things, it's short term, but it is a long time that you are committing to something that to get the expertise. So maybe, and I know this wasn't on our list that we had talked about asking, but how would you say somebody should go about picking the institution that they want to study at then, right? Because there's going to be multiple opportunities and places that you can do that. So I think that's also maybe an important aspect.
So first of all, you need to look, what is the value of that institution? The location of that place. If it's a place that you would like to live, because you, again, it's a long term that you're going to stay there. And then you cannot just say, oh yeah, and you get there and you cannot even stay. The university has a structure to have a good graduate program. They are going to be able to give you what you're looking for. I think that would be, and like funding, right? Because if you go from a graduate program, you probably not going to be at home with your parents. and then you need money as well. So how are you going to survive? How expensive is to live there? I think that would probably be the questions you need to ask yourself.
And especially going to look at somebody where something where you think you can live, because like you, you might not leave. So make sure you like it. But I'm sure it's probably because you like it that you've ended up staying.
Like I thought I wasn't going to survive when I came for the, but I was like just 6 months, right? So when I came, and then I like it.
6 years later. So assuming somebody has found the supervisor they want to do, they know they want to do swine nutrition, you know, they picked an institution that they want to study at, and they're in the program, you know, what do you think are some of the main challenges in actually studying swine nutrition?
The research part. I think the research part is the hard one, because it's where you're going to have the main challenge in the beginning, right? You need to understand what you're going to do. You need to know the place you're going to be working. You need to know who is going to be, if there is people available to help you. So, like, I think the research is the part that is most hard. And for the beginning, until you understand how to plan, how to organize yourself, how to work independently. And another thing that is usually a challenge for who is starting a master's is multitask. Because most of people come, when they come to a master's degree, they don't have much experience. They get that challenge from undergrad coming to a master program, and then they have a lot of things on their plate that they wasn't there before. So it was just classes. Now we have a research to conduct, and you have class, and you have a thesis to write. You have meetings, and you have to meet all these deadlines, right? There is deadlines. Another thing I think is like one of the challenges is to understand your limitations, right? Understand your limitations and identify them and be able to find a solution or find help you to go through your graduate program in an easy way. Let's say.
No, and I think you bring up a good point, right? You're going from the bachelor's, which is more of just here's your classes, you're told. Graduate school is that move towards independence. Yeah. And so you're going to have to come up with the solutions. You're not always going to be told what to do, right? And figure it out. So another thing to consider, maybe if that's what you want to do. But I think it's natural to move beyond the undergrad. So I guess too, maybe, and this could have come up in the considerations, because obviously the end goal is to get a job, hopefully a career. So what kind of jobs can you get with a degree, whether that's master's or PhD in swine nutrition?
Swine industry is big, right? So you can work directly with farmers as like a swine nutritionist, formulator, sales or management. Also, you can work with research depending your degree, right? Like, but if you have a master's, easily you can get a research, you can be a research assistant. If you have a PhD, you can be a research associate, a research scientist, professor. And also you have opportunities to work in government agencies. You can work as an inspector. You can also work developing policies. Depending like about your background or like how strong is your background in swine nutrition, you can also work with different species, right? You can even like humans and pets, right? Yeah. So there is a lot of opportunity, like, and I think North America, there is a lot to explore.
People think they're either going to be a sales or feed formulator, or they're going to be a professor. But there's so many other things. And I do like that you mentioned that you can work with other species. And I think that is one of the benefits of working with pigs, because they're monogastric. And what you learn in there can be applicable to so many other species and different careers as well. So I think the opportunities are endless. So, yeah. Okay, I saved this one for last before we get to our take-home message, because I think you obviously have moved as part of your thing. And I know when I was going through it, I have moved to different places. So I think maybe we'll just look at, you know, the importance of being flexible in the location and the opportunities that you take advantage of, and how important you think that is.
You cannot, it's something about myself, right? I don't attach to place, I attach to people. And that's what make things easier for me. I move to a place, a different place. I try to make friends, feel like I'm established, like I'm home, and then I can perform as well on my career. So this will be like, but if you're somebody that get attached to places, then it's harder to move, right? So that's another thing that you need to understand how you are. Once you don't attach to places, you can, and you're open to learn, and you're open to listen what the others have to teach you, I think everything can go well. I know for myself, when I moved to Canada, it was a lot of challenges, but I gave my best. That's the secret, right? You always need to give your best to get the best from the others as well.
It makes sense. You know, I'm probably the same as you. I don't get tied to a place, so I am willing to move around. And but I think there's also that importance of taking an opportunity that comes available that might not have been on your list, but it ends up helping you, right? I know for myself, my career, a lot of it has been taking those opportunities that I never thought that I would have taken, but they came available and I was like, okay, let's go.
And be ready for that, right? Like be willing to get to that.
Something to consider. Well, a lot of things to consider for people. I hope that they actually listen to this and consider what you've mentioned today. So maybe one final take home to those people, especially those that might be considering a career in swine nutrition, or let's just say, you know, swine science in general.
As a take home, I would say do everything you can do in your undergrad program to understand, to learn. And then you can make a better decision. Swine nutrition is a very good opportunity, not just to work with swine, but opens a lot of doors for you. So be open to the opportunities and be open to get that experience for you to grow professionally.
It's time for our famous three.
Well, Josie, before I let you go, we have three more questions that we ask every guest.
Okay.
So our first question is, what is your favorite swine-related book or resource?
While I'm driving, usually I try to listen to the swine podcast as much as possible. I follow all the provincial websites about pork to get more information what's going on in each province in Canada to understand more about the industry.
So our next one is a book or resource outside of pigs that you would recommend.
So I'm someone that loves suspense crime type of books. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite author is Sidney Sheldon. I don't know if you have heard about him, but yeah, he's one of my favorites author, and one of the books that I really love is Morning, Noon, and Night. It's a suspense book, and it really gets you in.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some listeners out there that want to do are the same way. So our last question is, the supervisors or leaders that you've worked with, you know, what is a characteristic that you think makes a successful leader?
Well, like most of my supervisors, they have objective. They are persistent on their objective and they are motivated. So I think once you have motivation, you have an objective, you think everything goes. Makes you keep going with and without challenge, because challenges is always there. And so if you're motivated, you can figure things out.
Very good. Well, Josie, it's been great having you on. I actually, because this is my last as host, so I was glad that this episode was with you, my very last one. So thanks for coming on. Thank you for being my last guest. and hopefully people get something from the information on doing a career in swine nutrition. So.
Yes, hopefully I could give some help to the students or to the people are out there looking for information. Thank you, Dan, for the opportunity again.
Thanks a lot.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.